So, there we go. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, I'm just going to get myself into this for a second, just because it's a real joy to be here. I had a lovely time last time, and this is a fantastic celebrate. It is, in fact, my favourite celebrate. Yes, it is, because I've worked out how to do this. My favourite celebrate is the one that I'm at. And here's the thing, I just felt on my heart there. I just wanted to, we should thank God for people like Eamon and Dominic. It turned out that in my life, they were my Catholic soundtrack. Them and Joe Boyce and Mike Stanley. When the church gives us gifts like that, we often take them for granted. It's seamless, it's perfect, it's so woven. And it's such a joy. I can get off the motorway and come into the presence of that kind of worship. And in seconds, it's good news for me. So we thank God for them and all they do for us. Now, look, just very quickly, it is a bit strange. You walk out of your life and into a marquee. And I always think these adjustments are a little bit difficult to make. But I want to ask you to do something, and it's probably what I did last time. And this is going to work. There we go. Which is, I'd like you to adopt, for those of you who like a drink, I'd like you to adopt the persona that you've just found a good wine, all right? In other words, what I'd like you to do is relax. Can you just look, forgive me, no, you're not. You've got to do this, you're not there yet. And it goes a little bit like that. You know, Rachel says to us, like, bring your baggage in. We are going to say that now, we're going to say that all morning. Will you just, like, hello? Just kind of all that stuff that you're worrying about, all right? I know it's there. I'm not in your head. I just know you're human. So look, we've brought the things we should be doing today. We've brought the people that we're worried about. We've brought our futures. There's so much stuff cracking off inside our heads. And all I want you to do, just a minute, just for a few minutes, is just to go, oh, my God, it's all right. Listen, church. Sometimes we forget the most important message. Do you know what the most important message is? It turns out that your life has a happy ending. Yeah. Now, hello. Come on. You're a child of Easter. He did the work. Now, look, I'm giving the talk, but Alison's here. She'll tell you I need to hear my own talk. It doesn't work like that. I need to be reminded, you're a child of Easter. Your life has a happy ending. All the saints testify to this. It turns out it's going to be all right. So put it down. Put it down, not to leave it. You'll pick it up. The Lord's not going to let your life easy. All right, but put it down in order to receive. I'm speaking to myself when I say this. We've got 2 days at an oasis with good wine. Hello, and it's not David Wells, it's just good wine. So what I want to ask you to do is to remind yourself, it turns out your life has a happy ending. Get over it. All right. Now look, just for this is not gimmicky. This is not something strange. Just say good morning to the person next to you. Ask them how they are. You've got 2 minutes and mean it. Do it. In a few technical difficulties, but at least we're not in an aeroplane. So what happens now, if you don't mind, just for a few minutes, is I just want you to, look, forgive me. I know that there are lots of people in here who are very familiar with all this, but just want to recognise, firstly, it's fantastic that we're an ecumenical gathering, and a real welcome to anybody here who's not a Catholic. And I just thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Pope. He's a nice man. All right, now, I like him. I like what he says. I like what he writes. I like how he behaves. And in my experience of church, he has what the church would call authority. If you're not a Catholic, I just want you to enjoy him as a theologian. Is that all right? Yeah, you don't care really, do you? So look, here it goes a little bit. Just come with me, because we haven't got along, and I've got 5 points to make. Five. It's too many, really. And it goes a little bit like this. when a pope writes an exhortation, I shared a little bit about this last year. So my job is, I'm not holier than you, I'm not cleverer than you, I'm not standing up here because, you know, somehow you need to be more of me. It's all, horrible thought. It goes more like this, that when you are busy about the stuff of life, that you are doing what you're doing, God gives me the grace to read these documents. And I spend most of my life breaking them down, opening them up so that they are relevant and practical to people who are busy, to people who can't read them. And what I want to do is to connect the theme of our conference at Celebrate this year with these exhortations. Now, just firstly, the most obvious point, if I may, sometimes people read an exhortation and they read it like bullet points. All right, it's not that. This is the Pope sitting with you in a pub. All right, so get into the place of good wine. And he's sitting next to you, and an exhortation is an appeal. So I want you to imagine the leading authority of the Catholic Church sitting next to you with a phrase like this. Are you ready? He would be going, wouldn't it be good if? All right, it's called a holy longing. Is when he looks upon his church and wishes for it and prays for it. And now you're in the language of an exhortation, all right? So don't go in too much into intellectual propositions and rules to be obeyed. Rather go into that spirit of, this is you, you know you've done it, you know you've done it, you're in a pub and you're going, wouldn't it be good if our parish... Finish that sentence. Wouldn't it be good if our parish... Well, the Pope's version of that is an exhortation. And since he became Pope, he's written five. And what I'm going to show you, and it doesn't make me cleverer than you, is because I've read these documents several times and taught them and reflected on them, you begin to see what he's saying often. And it's very closely allied to what we've already heard this morning. So here's the thing. You know this is true. If those of you who are parents, for those of you who are parents, if I asked your kids what your mantra is, all right, what is it that you say often? They give me loads and loads and loads. If you want to know, you know, think of your own parents and say, what did they always, they always said that, all right? It's a clue to what is important to a person, something they say often. Another clue to it is when you hear your own mother or father coming out of your mouth. And you're going, what? Blimey, there's me dad. There's me dad. Right there. Whoa, hello. All right. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of that with Pope Francis this morning with you, and we've only got 40 minutes to go, and we're going to move the slide on just one, aren't we? Yes, we are. Thank you. So the first of five, here it goes. Here's the first of five. They're not hard, forgive me. I don't mean that patronisingly, but they do take a lifetime. So the first thing I want you to be aware of is when the Pope writes an exhortation, this Pope, but Pope Benedict did it, and so does St John Paul II. And by the way, Pope John Paul I would have done it as well, but he only had 28 days. Do you remember him? Does anybody remember him? Lovely man. Lovely man. He wrote some beautiful letters, but he didn't have time to write an exhortation. Now, here's the thing. What have these popes been saying to us? And it's so timely with Celebrate, and it works its way out a little bit like this. The first thing, if you look at the Synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if you look at those three, you will see that in the first half of the Gospels, what does Jesus do? He has to... Now, go with this for a minute. He has to teach his disciples, now don't be alarmed, that what they thought they knew was wrong. Okay, now psychiatrists, psychologists, social analysts, they all call that the process of unlearning. All right? So the first part of the Gospels, largely up to Mark chapter 7, you will see that Jesus is saying, you know the ideas you have about my Father? They're wrong. You know your ideas about what it means to draw closer to the kingdom of God? They're wrong. Now, Jesus isn't that brutal. He's the greatest teacher that ever walked, so he had a different way of doing this. If you can move the slide on for me, it goes a little bit like this. Have a look at Matthew chapter 5 and you'll see it in action. I love this. I call it the But I Tell You chapter. The But I Tell You chapter. So it can read something like, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, when you think like that, we've got to unlearn it. Do you understand? You have heard it said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I've got to tell you, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you know this is true, church. Almost the first part, you notice this in all his exhortations, chapter number one. It's amazing. Chapter number one in all his exhortations, except Louder to See, where it's chapter one and two, and Amoris Laetitia, where it's chapter one and eight. He goes, the things you thought you knew, you need to unlearn. Unlearn. Doesn't make you a bad person. It's not going to send you to hell, but it's stopping you. It's stopping you. It's stopping you. It's amazing. Now then, here comes question number one. We're going to have a brief look at technology while you're not looking. And it goes a little bit like this. What was the stuff you got, whether you went to church or not, as a kid, about religion, Jesus, God, or the universe, that actually, looking back, you've had to unlearn? Now, it doesn't mean the people who taught you were bad or they didn't love you, but has there been any blocks in your journey so far where you look back and you go, do you know, I think they told us a lot about that, and I'm looking back and I'm not sure that helped me. I'm not sure that was him. It doesn't make your teacher bad. It doesn't make your parents bad. But can you identify anything in the last number of years where you would look back and say, do you know, I think I had to unlearn that. I keep tripping up again, and sometimes it reappears. And I have to say, stop it. That's not helping. That's not helping. All right? It's almost the first half of the Gospels. Now, while we sort this technology out, what you're going to do is just tell the person next to you, and do this with a degree of humour, all right? Please, you know, see a sense of irony. I mean, my kids now, you know, they're in their mid to early 20s, and we're just now getting feedback. Do you know what I'm saying, church? So they're starting to say to me, well, Dad, I don't think he was like that. I think he was more like this. And I think, gosh, was I that miserable at church? You know, I kind of thought we tried to help you to see God, that, you know, and we're getting feedback now, and you begin to realise that what you thought you were doing wasn't quite what happened. So here you go. Did that happen to you? Have you had any religious hurdles you've had to climb over in order to meet the living God? You've got 2 minutes. If you didn't like the conversation you had a second ago, look the other way, and off we go.